Welcome to The Music of Bond, a James Bond podcast. From John Barry to Hans Zimmer and every note in between. Join us for an in-depth and at times provocative conversation about the best in 007 sounds. From Oscar-winning favourites to guilty pleasures.
Hello, hello everyone, and welcome back to Music of Bond, for the love of music, for the love of Bond. Episode number 5, the Teacher D interview. Well, I am JW, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Mr. Bond on Vinyl himself, Chris Wood. Say hello, Mr. Wood.
Hello, Mr. Wood.
Excellent. Well, you never forget your first time, and here we are, episode number 5, and we've already got a stellar interview in the bag. How incredible is this?
I'm so excited. I really am.
He is one of the coolest guys I've ever had the opportunity to talk to. And Chris, why don't you, for those who might not have heard one of our previous episodes, tell our listeners, recap how this whole thing went down.
Yeah, of course. So we did the No Time to Die source music episode, which I believe was episode 3. Where we discussed the songs in No Time to Die, the source music in particular. So that was a really fun episode. And of course, Rastafari Way, the absolutely phenomenal Rastafari Way, features in the song as performed by Teacher D. And midway through recording that episode, we had a comment pop up on Instagram from Teacher D, loving the show and commenting on Instagram. So in real time, we discovered a comment from Teacher D, reached out to Teacher D to see if he'd come on the show, and we're here today. It's happening.
That's incredible. I love that. We were literally recording the show, and you went, wait a minute, hang on a second. those reactions are quite genuine, I assure you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So amazing. Well, I'm thrilled to have everyone hear this. But before we get into that, Chris, this is normally where we take a quick break to talk about our Bond fanatical fandom. And sadly, Logan is not here with us. So we're going to take this opportunity to talk about something specifically that you and I both got. Spectre vinyl.
Oh,
I mean, it's like the Bond, James Bond gods. That's what I call them. Heard my prayers and released this. So you got it before me because it had to make its way all the way to California. So you got it like a week before I did. Did an incredible unboxing video. What are your thoughts on this as a vinyl product? And has your views on the soundtrack changed at all?
Okay, so my view on the product... 10 out of 10. I mean, the finish, the vinyl itself, the white is just as white can be. The colour on it's stunning. What I always love as well is when they put a bit of effort in. And on the inner sleeves, there's artwork to both sides. So you get 4 beautiful, beautiful stills from the film. It's gatefold, obviously, with a lovely image of Daniel in the Aston. So from a packaging point of view, I adore it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, the high quality resolution of whatever photos they used for this is insane. I mean, it looks like, you know, Greg Williams right from his negative or something. You know, it's, definitely. I can't get over it. You know, sometimes you look at them and, okay, that's kind of like a, I don't know, there's a richness to the photos.
Absolutely. And we had 15 comments and messages on Instagram of people that have picked it up based on the episode, which felt really good.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know, we're here to share, you know, let people know of different products that are out there. So the fact that people have picked up on that and purchased the white vinyl is amazing. But to answer your last question, has it improved the listening of the album for me? Do I enjoy the album more? Absolutely.
I think I needed to apply some more deodorant here for a second. Jesus Christ.
It has. It really has. And I think one of the main reasons is I've been able to sit down with an LP, listen to a side, walk over, flip it over, lift the needle. You know, the whole thing's been an event. And I think there's something that hones your concentration in with vinyl. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Especially if it doesn't have an arm that lifts itself. I mean, you got to pay attention.
Exactly. Mine doesn't. Yeah, mine just runs in the inner groove infinitely. Do you know what I mean? So I have to go up there and lift it up.
No, absolutely. To your point, it's definitely much more of an event. Listening to vinyl. You know, it's an investment that you have to make with your time, which obviously pays out in dividends, right? And opposed to just listening to 30 seconds of one track and then going on to the next one. I'm just so thrilled to hear this because I've been chomping at the bits to ask you this very question, but I figured I'd save it for, you know, when we've got microphones in our face.
Yeah. And I must as well apologize because it was April Fool's Day recently.
Oh, dude.
And, you know, a few of the big... Well, to be honest, a lot of the big brands now do this. It's like a thing on Instagram. I don't know if you've noticed. But a lot of the big brands will put a little April Fool's post up about a product or whatever that they're promoting that's clearly fake, but people get fooled by. And I thought, you know, Musica Bond, here's a great opportunity. And I thought, and it was a hard one. I was thinking, what would be a really exciting release that people would buzz over if it was announced? And I had a look at my collection and there was just one obvious gap in the vinyl, because we've got Casino, we've got Skyfall, we've got Spectre, we've got No Time to Die, but we're missing Quantum of Solace. So I had an amazing morning. And to be honest, it was a fantastic experience, because I was thinking, what would I want the Quantum of Solace vinyl set to look like? So I got Photoshop up and I started piecing it together. And I went for a limited edition Desert Smoke vinyl, which is something I've completely made up, by the way. Put it all together, put a little poster in the set, and I created this Instagram post saying, there's a Quantum of Solace 2LP set exclusive to the 007 store. And I thought I would get, you know, found out immediately, but no, a lot of people got fooled, and I can only apologize.
Yeah.
But the comments were fuming, to be entirely truthful.
Yeah, I am a morning person. I love mornings. I 9 times out of 10, I wake up in a great mood. I put on music, make coffee. I'm an early morning riser, and I love mornings. Not a big fan of late afternoon, by the way. But this was the one-off morning. For whatever reason, I woke up and I was not. Something wasn't right, and I wasn't
not
in
on your
A
game.
And so when Chris is doing this, and then Logan sees it first because I'm in California. You know, I mean, it's your nighttime, your time, and I'm just getting up. Yeah. And I rolled over, I saw that, and I was freaking out. I just immediately went over to the 007 store, couldn't find it, went to the UK store, couldn't find it. And when I realized what you had done, I yelled out a description of you that rhymes with dick. And I was like, I had to put the phone away because you did such a stellar job on that.
Thanks.
I mean, it is a dream come true. For me, that is a dream come true. Your Desert Smoke vinyl. And afterwards, I'm sitting here and I'm showing Nelly. I'm like, doesn't this guy have to do dishes or wipe down the coffee table or vacuum? Like, where's he getting the time to do this, man?
Do you know what? I got up a little bit before Erin and I had about 20 minutes and I thought, do you know what? I'm going to do this over breakfast. So I didn't sort of pour a lot of time over it. And you can see when you look closely, it's a bit ropey, but it was something that I thought would fool a lot of people. And I've actually got some of the IG comments in front of me.
Let's
here.
Hear it, man.
So Toys of Bond, you can't trust anyone these days. Billy's Bond art, don't do this again. Dale's Toys, dang, I was so ready to complete the Craig films on LP. The Bond is not enough. I went to the store and I looked, facepalm emoji.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was pretty epic.
Yeah, but there's clearly demand. You know, there's a comment here from Steve Parkhurst. I so wish this was true. They could even leave off that awful title song and this would be an even bigger prize. I'd be all over it.
Oh,
man. I mean, what's your gut feeling saying? Do you think they're going to release it? Well, you know what?
I hope so. I mean, there's such a love for David Arnold, you know,
yeah.
And I'm still like, I when I got the Spectre vinyl in the mail, like I kind of looked at it a little bit, looked around the room, looked back down at it, because the fact that they would do this and release this before Skyfall is a head scratcher. Like, I just can't believe it. Like
a re-release.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, Skyfall is the moneymaker.
Yeah.
Like, that would seem like a no-brainer. So I don't know how this all works, and I'd love to know.
No.
Who's choosing this? Who's putting the together? You know, who's putting these things together? How does this rollout, you know, work? And
yeah.
I just can't believe that Spectre got this release instead of Skyfall. So
yeah.
That gives me hope that we could see something, because Casino's been released several times.
Yeah, Skyfall's been released twice in two incarnations.
Yeah.
And then obviously Spectre had the first one, and this is like a re-release of Spectre.
Yeah.
No Time to Die had like a white version, a black version, a gold version. But I honestly think, you know, it just makes complete sense. You know, we're all sort of completionists. We'd like to have the full collection, and it's annoying that we're missing Quantum.
It really is. And I think in this, you know, downtime, I'm not even considering that. I have not spent 5 seconds of my life spending about who the next Bond is or when is it going to happen or complaining that it hasn't happened. So for me, it's, you know, I revisit what we have and sort of find new things that I never found before, which is, to me, is the brilliance of Spectre. You can rewatch it, and it's almost like watching it the first time. There's so much to mine from it.
Absolutely.
So I would love nothing more, and I hope they do it. I'm going to be disappointed if they do it, because it's not going to be the Desert Smoke edition, for Christ's sake.
And if it is, I want more royalties.
Oh, man. I know, I was actually kind of worried about that. Somebody would be like, hey, Eon, what's going on here? Why isn't this? I can't find it. Oh, shit.
And then Music of Bond gets shut down.
I know.
Pissing about with an April Fool's joke.
Oh, man, I know. Well, incredible. Before we jump into it, though, let's hear a little bit about the last episode, the documentary review, which was just a monster of an episode. I must admit, I actually listened to it a couple of times, and I normally don't enjoy listening to myself, but I thought it was just so much fun to record. What's the vibe been on that one?
Yeah, I had loads and loads of positive feedback, tons of comments. I'll read some out. The first one was T Justice 007. I'm listening to this right now, blasting you guys on my loudspeaker. I needed this today with the awful British weather. Ha ha. So that was a good one.
Mm.
We had one from Adam Dennis. Hey, Chris, really enjoyed Ep 4. It made my day when you read my comment out and was totally unexpected. I watched the documentary for the first time today and absolutely loved the part about Casino Royale. I never realised they were teasing us with the Bond theme during the tuxedo scene, and it makes it even better now. The payoff at the end is just pure class. I'm looking forward to episode 5. Thanks again.
Ooh.
And then we had this. This one was quite a touching one. This one came through to Logan, but it really touched me when I read it, and I thought this would be a good one to read out. So this is Alex Kaplinski. I know it's a lot of work and a time commitment, but this is generally the highlight of my day when each episode comes out. We all more than appreciate what you're doing. Life can be life, and it can become difficult. Spending an hour or two with you guys helps make life a little better when it's not easy. It really got me, that one.
Yeah, that's a mic drop.
Yeah, just a really, really lovely comment. And thanks so much, Alex, for reaching out with that one.
Absolutely. Those sort of things mean the world to us, because
Definitely.
You know, the amount of work it takes to get this thing off the ground and to maintain it, you know, it is truly a labor of love. So it's just wonderful to hear that people are digging it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, if I only get one of those comments, it's worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, that's wonderful. Thank you for everyone for tuning in and reaching out. As you know, you can follow us at Music of Bond on Instagram, and you can reach us via email at musicofbond@gmail.com. Speaking of Logan, Logan is in charge of the email, so if you're not getting responded to, feel free to let Logan have it.
I'm sure he is. We're
okay. I'm sure he is. I know he is, but since he's not here today, you know.
Let's just throw Logan under the bus.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a, oh, man. All right. Well, let's get over to the meat and potatoes here. And this interview is absolutely stellar with Teacher D and just his energy and, you know, him as a musician, as a Jamaican, as a human. You're going to love this. There's some great stories here. So let's let it rip. All right. So we have a very, very special guest, previously heard on a Music of Bond episode, here with us today, sharing his time and his love with us, the unstoppable Teacher D. Teacher D, say hello.
Greetings, world. This is Teacher D and all the Bond supporters and lovers out there. Give thanks for the link, man. Yes, I.
Fantastic. Well, we're thrilled to have you here today. And, you know, let's start off with where you're at. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you split your time between Jamaica and Germany, correct?
Yes, I try to be in the European market more than how I'm in Jamaica because this is where I do most of my work. And when the time get cold, you know, I go down to Jamaica.
Oh, yeah.
And when we have the summer coming up and the spring into the summer, I always find myself back here in Germany. But I stay here most of the time. And sometimes I don't go to Jamaica more than like once per year.
What was it that brought you to Germany?
I came here in 2011 trying to just use my teaching holidays to see what's happening with my music. And that was my first tour, and I have been touring since 2011.
Wow, that's amazing. From what I understand, too, the you know Germans are big fans of music overall. It's one of the biggest music markets. So I imagine you've got a good following there as well.
Yes, Germany has always been supportive of my career. I started recording for producers here. You know, the producer, his name is Paul Pau, and he was the man who produced Gentleman and the World Know Gentleman, you know. And he was the one who started recording me in 2003. Oh. So I have been working with producers in Germany. And yes, it is a very big market here, the entire European market overall. And Germany is like the gateway into Europe, really.
Yeah.
They have a very good relationship with Jamaica. There is even a German community there in Jamaica, Seaford Town, in the hills there. So from, I think, in the 1938 and up somewhere there, some Germans went there and lived there. And they travel a lot there on holidays too, you know.
I think everyone went to Jamaica for holiday. You know, it was the place. It still is. I got to admit, Teacher D, I've been to Jamaica twice, in Orcabessa, and went down to Port Antonio as well. So I've had two trips to your country, and I've got to say, I've lived in London, New York, D.C., L.A. Without a doubt, I think Jamaicans are the kindest and friendliest, the nicest people that I've ever encountered.
Well, John, I think you have some more visits to do because what you told me, you have been to Portland, so you have been all the way east.
Yes.
And you've been to St. Mary there, right?
Yes.
So therefore, you have Negril, you have St. Anne, you have a lot more to see, sir. Have you seen the Duns River Falls?
Oh, yes, of course.
You have a lot more to see,
yeah,
sir.
I know. Some of the local boys called me a country boy since I like the north side of Jamaica. They said, "You're a country boy then." I said, "Yeah, I know. I need to get down to the city." We need to come when you're there so you can show us around.
Yes, once we connect, man, this is good. This
I want to see your Jamaica.
Yes, we know there are like 3 Jamaicans, really. You know, 3 Jamaicas. And yeah, that's true. You have like one Jamaica that is always on the news and people will think this is the whole Jamaica. But no, there is another upper Jamaica that have a lot of celebrities living there. They have houses in the hills. A lot of people don't know. Movie stars, mm-hmm. runners, a lot of people live there. And then you have the I would call it the middle range Jamaica, the no problem man Jamaica, you know? That one is everywhere. It is everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, speaking of Jamaica, like, where do you call home when you are in Jamaica?
I live in Montego Bay when I'm there. I have family in Westmoreland, that is to the west near Negril there, because mm-hmm. Negril is in the Westmoreland parish. So I was originally born there in Westmoreland, Savannah Lamar, Westmoreland. And after leaving high school, which was the Mannings High School, I went to Teachers College in Montego Bay. So since graduating college there, I got a job there and I started teaching there and I did 12 years. So I live in St. James, that's Montego Bay.
Wow, that's incredible. That's so cool. I've got to know, before we get to music and Bond, you've been in Germany for months on end. You get back to Jamaica. What's the first thing you eat?
The first thing I eat when I go to Jamaica is mangoes. Hey, I love mangoes, man. Oh, I can tell you right now.
Yeah.
I really love mangoes. From ever since I was small, there are so many different types of mangoes, you know? I love mangoes. When I go there, my uncle, my brothers, they just bring mangoes to me. You know, that's my favorite. And so many fruits there, but they know, you know, teach coming through, get some mangoes. I used to sit as a kid over like a bucket with 12, 13, you know, no food, no dinner, just like you get some water to wash them, you know. Oh, you have like 12 or 13 of them in a bucket and you just sit and you eat and you watch like a Western or you do something like that when I was a kid. Yeah, man, we love mango. We used to go and hunt them off trees.
Yes. I got to admit, I found that ackee for breakfast cures all problems.
Yeah.
You know, that
we love
my
it
favorite.
Too, you know, we love it.
Yeah.
We love it and we eat a lot of it. But, I mean, we don't normally, when we travel, right? When we travel and we are away from Jamaica for a long time, what we miss most is the fruits. You know, we miss the fruits because you don't find the same fruits all over the world. Yeah. And sometimes you find mangoes here that they ship and it seems as if it was on the ship for 3 months. You know, it's not the same like when you get it directly from there, you know. Jackfruit, mango, those kind of fruits, you know.
Absolutely. They taste fantastic blended with a little Jamaican rum too.
Yes.
You know, that also is good for breakfast.
And you'll blend, yeah, man.
Among other things. Well, before we get into you as the educator, we've got some, you know, questions for you about how things progress and how things happened with Bond. Over to you, Chris.
Firstly, we just want to say how much we adore the song. What a beautiful song, Rastafari Way.
Thank you very much.
I think it's captured the hearts, really, of all the Bond fans all over the world. When we did the most recent episode talking about the songs in No Time to Die, a lot of the feedback was like, we love Rastafari Way. What a fantastic song.
Wow.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
This is the best news I have today.
Yeah, I think if they created an album with the songs from the film, Rastafari Way would be the single they would release off that album. Especially your video, it just sounds to me like it's the song that if the producers or whoever were listening to it, who put it together, they'd say, all right, well, here's the song we need to release as a single. It's that good.
You think so, John? Well, I do. I have no choice but to love this song because this song is the story of my life, you know. This was what happened when I was transitioning from a teacher to a reggae artist and becoming Rasta. So it is really a song about my pain, you know, what I went through. And for many years in my career, I didn't sing it. And after getting stronger now, I decided to sing it, you know. So it is really a good feeling to know that ones and ones out there, they really love this song, and I wish that it provides strength to ones who are going through discrimination, to ones who are going through struggle to be themselves. I wish that it provides strength for ones and ones who require this strength, you know, to go towards their dream, even without the support of the system or other people. So it's a very good thing you say there, and I thank you for saying it, John.
Absolutely. I've stood behind this for years. I mean, there's always such a message in reggae music, but you know, the music is uplifting, and I challenge anyone to listen to reggae and be in a bad mood. You just can't do it. It's impossible. I mean, you know, the music is I call it legalized drugs. You know, it makes you aware, and it puts you in a good mood. And you know, what more could you ask for?
The truth is, the music has always been fighting. It's a fighting music for rights, you know, human rights, a matter of fact. It may have started off with the Jamaicans and black people and the slavery and overcoming victim mode and victim mentality, but it has expanded to a global outreach, because now this system is no longer affecting the race again. There is no more divide again, you know. People are going through the same struggles all over the world. So reggae music has a job to do when it comes to that. And I mean, Bob Marley music, Peter Tosh music, Jimmy Cliff music, a lot of music out of Jamaica and reggae music from all over the world. They are trying to get us spiritually stronger, you know, moving forward. So yes, reggae is playing a vital role in strengthening all of the ones who loved it, you know, on a spiritual level.
Yeah, absolutely. If you base a culture on the people, their food, and their contribution music-wise, Jamaica's pretty much leading the way, you know?
Yes. I agree with you, sir. I agree with you, sir. I agree with you.
I've got to say as well, teacher, am I okay to call you teacher?
Yeah, you can call me teacher, you know, can call me bro, anything. Once you're talking to me and I know, you know.
That's brilliant. Well, I've been listening to the album in its entirety, the Rastafari Way album. It's been my soundtrack of my week, and there are some fantastic standout songs. One song that I thought could have worked really well in No Time to Die was Keep Me Away as well, the opener.
Keep me away.
Yeah. Such a fan. You know, it talks about keeping the evil away, which I thought was very Bond-esque. But I think the song that really tapped into my personal life was Do Today, because I am a self-proclaimed procrastinator. That's what I do every day. Yeah. Okay. So I think I need to make Do Today my anthem, and it'll make me do a lot more in my working day, I think. So a fantastic album.
Chris, give thanks, man. Thank you very much. Just remember that all of us, we go through the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
Procrastination, we all go through that. So that album is really an album that was geared towards the process I went through. From the start to the finish is the process I went through. From the beginning, where I was telling you how I grew up with my grandfather that told me, do what you fi do, which in Jamaica mean do what you must do, stop following people. That song called Stop Follow People, right? Follow your own path. And until the last song, 13 Months of Sunshine, which was when I realized what Africa was and just not what they show you in, you know, show you desert and wild animals. I did not realize there were cities and skyscrapers there. So it was an awakening for me, you know.
In the recording of the album, what came first when you're writing? Is it lyrics or music first? How does the songwriting process typically work for you?
Okay, you might get surprised now. I do not write songs, Chris.
Ah, okay.
I play the music,
yeah,
and I sit back and I listen for a voice in my head that is singing, and I follow. It's as if, because I have been doing this from I was 6 years, you know, I grew up singing. I just can't remember doing anything else. I chose to do teaching to please my parents, who sent me to school, And it felt like entertainment to me. You know, the classroom felt like every day it was a club, you know. I have lots of fans too. Yeah. But I load the rhythm, right? This is my process. I load the rhythm into the studio and I just play it and just don't think about anything. I find myself in a silence, like a meditative state. Yeah. And when I'm in the silence, in the meditative state, I listen for what I should sing. And then I sing it.
Wow.
And when I start to sing, it becomes like a discussion with me and the listener. So I am presenting my case. And if you notice my songs, they have three levels to them. I present what the issue is. And I will present what's going on. And then at the end, I show you the solution that I think I found. So even in Rastafari way, the last verse here when I was saying, if you tread along as a Rastafarian, then do it without apology. Well, I was telling people that if you choose to be yourself, you know, that is what Rasta is. If you choose to be your natural self and follow your own path, just do it and don't apologize about doing it.
And that really applies to your songwriting. You're just letting it wash over you and it just comes out and flows.
Yes, it's like, I don't want to call it freestyle because it's not freestyle. It's just finding this thing in the silence and it come out like a voice and I sing it. And when I finish singing, I listen it again to see if it is exactly what I feel. And then I will change some stuff. And so one song might take me like 2 days to finish. If it is a very deep song, and if it's not very deep or something that I went through personally that is easy for me, then it will take me just the day to do.
Wow.
And then I sing the harmonies to it and those things too.
And do you tend to find that the songs that come easier are better or not necessarily?
The hardest songs are the ones that are not totally true to me and that I don't try to do those. Like if I am singing about something that's not true, you know, it's not really true. It's just fun to sing, like.
And it feels like you're forcing it.
Yes, that one feels more forced. But if I'm telling you something about my life, I just have to find the words to put it together. And I don't have any problem with the words.
Yeah.
So most of my problem is to stay on key, to make sure the emotion is correct to what I'm singing and those kind of things. And that's what I try to write them down later for registration and things. So I am the guy who sit down, play the song and write it out after. Yeah.
Well, I've got to know, you mentioned, that's very interesting about how there's, you know, three aspects to the song.
Yes.
The last being the solution.
Yeah.
And through creating music, could you share one of those solutions with us?
Yes. For example, I have a new album, right? I have a new album called Time Machine. It was released in that time when the movie was out. And for me to explain that, so you understand, and we say understand as Rasta from the understand, for you to understand that vibe, I was saying in that song that, how can you be thirsty while sitting at the well? Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, it's a mental problem.
Wow.
You know, and then I explain, man is quick to blame somebody else for all of the things he has done himself. I know I was one of them. Only few will know what they're going through is based on the things that they choose to do. I know I was one of them. So hear me again. How can you be thirsty? You get me?
Wow.
So I tell you at the
amazing
end, like I went through it. I was one of them. I used to blame people for not being successful in what I'm doing when I was the one not putting in the work and those kind of things, you know? Just sitting back and, you know, like praying and praying.
How can you be thirsty when you sat at the well?
Yeah. So I was just saying all the opportunities are there. And all the artists who are listening now and aspiring artists, these are the times when the internet is there. You can link distribution for yourself. You can promote yourself. This is not the time to be crying and acting as if you're being prevented from doing anything. You know, everything is right there.
Well, we've got to ask, you know, the connection with Bond. You know, how did that happen? I mean, where were you when you got the news that they were either interested or that you were in the new James Bond film?
Okay.
I mean, what's your initial reaction to that?
John, you ready? You sure you're ready?
Let's hear it.
So, it was 2019. I was in a house doing some work, you know, and I got a call from my artist friend in Jamaica. His name is Dan Tipper. Big up yourself, Tipper. He called me like, "Teach, you see the email?" And I was like, "Yeah, I see the email, but come on, man, I think it's some African scam or something." And I said, "No, no, man, it's real. It's real. I open it." Now, in his defense, he is a braver person than me. He will see some strange email and he will open it. I'm the man who will look at it like, I know. So I deleted it.
Thank heavens he did.
I deleted it. I deleted the first one. I read it and it was telling me to contact, and I was like, this is a scam. This must be a scam, man. Because, you know. So to tell you what happened now, when he called me and told me that he opened the email too, and he think it's real because he went to the website of this company that was searching for me for a couple months, because they thought I was in Jamaica. They were really searching for me and could not find me. And they know the label, because I told you I remastered the song. My label is called 10th Floor. And It was on 10th Floor, so that's how they contacted Dan Tipper, because he was one of us who had the 10th Floor label that we work with.
Mm.
So when I look, it was this company called Search Party, and I said, okay, I'm going to call them. And I call, and it was crazy. When he was telling me, he said, "Teacher D, you're a hard man to find." When he said, "You're a hard man to find," I laugh like, yeah, okay. And let me say, "It's real." And I must tell you, he had to say, "Hello, hello. Hello, Teacher D, hello." I was like, "Yes." He said, "It's real, man, and please let your lawyers look at it, man, and get back to me ASAP. This we have to hurry with this right now." I'm like, yes.
Wow.
John, Chris, I was frozen in time.
I was you
frozen
were.
In time. To tell you the truth, wow. I submitted that song to, you know, you have some online sites that you can submit your songs to for placement and thing. I submitted it to this site called Music Dealers, and I don't think they exist anymore. And they had it there, and I had to go there and like submit it to projects. You know, they have like a big board, and if you wish to have your song placed, you submit it to these projects. But I have no idea how Search Party Music found it.
Incredible.
I don't know how they found it. So this man found me and he was like, "We love the song, man. We love it. It fits the scene." And he sent me a contract too. And I was reading through and I was like, "Oh my God, this is real. This is real."
Wow. Unbelievable.
So I called the other artist that I was working with. I told you about having a label, and I was like, "Yo, this thing is real." And I called the band in Austria and say, "Yo, this is real."
And this was all pre-COVID, because this was a long time before the film came out.
Yes, it was a little bit before COVID. We never know no COVID was going to happen. This was before, no. It was early December. Remember, I think COVID started to kick off in 2020, really, that we start to realize. So I didn't know what to do, really. I have a lawyer and thing, but the truth is, I was in panic, bro. I was stuck.
Yeah.
So, because we know what, we are from Jamaica. We know what James Bond is. It's just the biggest movie on earth. Yeah. Jamaica and Bond have a long, long history. Let me tell you the truth. Some of the Bond movies I didn't watch before, because I was born in 1980. So this thing has been going on long, long before even my father was. Or something like this. It's a long time out there, bro.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
But tell you the truth, I was happy about it, nervous about it. All the emotions were playing out one time. So when I read the contract, you know, it have some non-disclosure thing there and all that stuff. I sent it to my lawyer, look at it, send it back, and we were certain. We sent it to search party and the contact I had there, he went through with me and we end up linking MGM, and then we were talking to Ian Productions. So they were serious about it. There was no joke thing, you know. And I was not competing with anyone for that spot. They chose it. They decided they wished to have it. And I was just like, thank you very much, thank you. You know, when you have a career and you feel like, finally, I did something worth, yeah, the stamp on the wall, like, this is going to stay for a long time, you know? And I was happy about it. Then I'm still happy now. And trust me, it opened a lot of doors for me. I give thanks for it. And even in my intro that I do now on stage, I put a little mixture of the Bond thing in the intro.
I've heard it. I listened to it.
Yes, man. People go crazy, man. They love it.
Into Smoke and Fly.
Yes, right into Smoke and Fly. The song that started the whole thing.
Fantastic.
So just to set the stage, you've got the global phenomenon that is a 60-plus year, 25-movie franchise.
Oh.
That's roots are in Jamaica, yes, with Ian Fleming, where they were all written. They're bringing Bond back to his spiritual home, and they need to find a piece of music that will represent Jamaica, and they call you.
Yeah. No, tell me the truth, John. John, how would you feel about that?
As you're telling the story, I'm sweating. Hey, I'm nervous for you. Like, John, is it going to happen? Okay, like, Chris, and I, you know,
Chris, how would you feel about that?
I mean, that would be everything to me. I don't think it could I don't think it could ever be topped.
Man.
Yeah.
Listen. All right. Now, imagine that you're looking at a contract that having some fine print down there, you know, don't disclose the contents in here and all that.
That must have been unbearable.
No. I was walking around with a perma smile, you know, and people just don't know why. And you know, they're looking at me like, yeah, probably he smoked something, you know, teacher dude just
too many mangoes.
Yeah. And I'm there just floating, bro. I must tell you the truth. I was floating for about, I would say, 2 months, man. Light. I'm light like a feather. Spiritually light. I couldn't feel my body like it's a weight. Everything was just off my shoulder for a bit. Because you must understand, gentlemen, this was also a lockdown coming on now. Shows were not keeping. I had bills to pay and everything. And in come this movie. Like, hey, you can sit out this time right now. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. And this now, listen to the thing. The movie now is called No Time to Die in a Pandemic. I swear to you, man, I was floating. I was happy. I was floating.
When the film was delayed, that must have been infuriating to know that you're sitting on that.
No, I'm gonna tell you why. When the film was delayed, right? Because it was like, you know, it was finalized really, you know. I was not worried about that, but then I couldn't say nothing still, so I had to be quiet again. And let's say I trust my mother, you know, I trust Aunt Tipano. But if I tell anyone, it was just something they would never believe.
Yeah.
I tried it. I tried to tell a friend of mine, say, you know, I have a song that's going to come out in a James Bond movie. They say, what the?
Yeah.
No way. I'm going to say, I don't believe you.
And you were like,
you're
believe
lying.
Me,
you're
it's
lying.
True.
Yeah. They say, you're lying. I'm going to say, maybe. And just leave it there. Wow. And so incredible. When it came out in the news now, I was shocked too because I didn't say anything, you know, but the other person that I'm telling you about that had the thing, he went and did an interview and he said something. And then the lady called me from the Jamaica Gleaner and was like, Teacher D, I saw a strange number, you know. And I answered it. And no, I didn't answer it. And then come a text like, it is from a lady from the newspaper. I'm a journalist and I wish to talk to you about your song in the Bond movie. I was like, how did she? But me say, okay, she's a journalist. Oh, maybe no. She have her sources, you know. They were in Jamaica filming stuff. Maybe they figured it out. And when she called me, she didn't even, the first question was, Teacher D, how do you feel that your song is now in the James Bond movie, No Time to Die? And I said, I just told her the truth, man. I didn't even have anything prepared to sound professional, you know.
How do you answer that?
Yeah, I just say, I was shocked. I couldn't say anything for 2 hours. And she wrote it. Teacher D was shocked, could not say anything for 2 hours. Yeah. So that was a very big article for me too. And then all the other websites took it up and started to run with it, from Spain to Italy, Germany, Reggaeville, big up Reggaeville. They did a big expose and I did a video interview. And for 2 years straight, I have been doing interviews.
Wow. So it's changed your life.
Yes, it put me in a different market, I would say, because the people that I was doing the interviews with, I knew they exist, but I had no idea it was so powerful.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of clubs out there, some clubs with sites, some clubs without sites, podcasts, radios, web pages, magazines, video magazines. Everyone was just wanting to hear. And that was cool for me because, as you can hear now, I like to talk about it. There was a time I could not say nothing. Chris, there was a time I could not say nothing. I'm happy to talk about it, you know.
Yeah, and so you should be. It's a fantastic achievement.
Yeah, man. And my family, they are happy too, because they are fans of the show too also.
That's great. And, you know, and big thank you to you for being so generous to all of us Crazy Bond fans.
Yeah.
You know, just when we were kind of digging into, you know, that particular podcast episode where we're highlighting the songs, you could see that you were very open and welcoming to talking about Bond and giving a lot of love to everyone that it means so much to. So,
yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for all of that.
So that's, and we've got to know, though, you're in the movie theater for the first time and you hear your song. What was that like?
Okay, let's talk about the movie theater now. So I was at the what you call the 007 screening at one theater. It was 0007 in the middle of the night, right? There was a red carpet, and I went there, and when I went through the door, a lot of people were like laughing, like ha ha, because I went there with my turban, you know, I didn't have my locks down and everything, and I had some friends with me, you know, family friends too, and we went in and we sat down. And I knew where it was going to come, but I don't know where in the whole movie itself.
Yeah.
So I was watching, and then it came. And it was like a power. It just came so quick, but it came so important. Because for me, I knew that it was where Naomi was going to come as the first appearance. You know, Lashana Lynch, big up yourself. I must get an autograph poster from you. Sorry about that, gentlemen. But yeah, big up yourself. Big up yourself. And I was so happy for that. And then at the end, we sat and wait on the credits, even the credits. That was the first theater. The second theater now, the man who run this theater, he heard that the guy who did one of the song lives in Germany. It's a German theater, you know. And he contacted me. He found me too and told me that if I could come and sing the song. And I said, no problem. And I went there and I was singing this song and the newspaper was there and it was a red carpet thing again too. And they put my logo and name on the big screen and I was in front of this big screen singing the song.
Wow.
And the people were sitting there, you know, cause it was the premiere too. You know, I had my jacket, you know. And the people were there and everyone clapped like, yes, beautiful. I was like, this is a different thing. This is a total different thing. It was wonderful, man. It was wonderful. There were some ladies there singing the classic songs, you know. And they were singing, Diamonds Are Forever. You know, and then I just came in like, it's not an easy road. High energy. Is that... You could feel the island, you know? It's a different energy, you know? They love it.
We need a Teacher D compilation of Bond songs. It needs to happen. We need We need a full album.
Yeah, reggae versions.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
That would be incredible.
So it was a change of energy in the theater too, because you know the songs are like melancholy, some of them not too, you know, and then comes this man with the reggae thing just jumping far away, and all the people was like with me, man, cameras recording. It was a very good time for me, sir, I must tell you. This was and is continuing to be a highlight in my career, and I'm very thankful for it, you know. Big up Ian Productions, the Bond franchise. Give thanks to the music of Bond. Jan, big up yourself. Logan, sorry, I didn't get to talk to you too. And Chris, big up yourself. Yes, I.
Oh, thank Absolutely. You so much.
Well, the pleasure's all ours. And, you know, I got to admit, having been there twice, and I can't wait to go back, I'm really touched by Jamaica and by Jamaicans.
Yes,
and you know, when you wherever you're coming and going, morning, night, you know, everyone says one love, one love, one love. And I always come back so changed, and it's like holding a mirror up to myself when I come back to my day in, day out life here in the United States.
Yeah.
About what's really important in life. And I always just in my head keep saying one love, because it's a really good place to start.
Yeah, man.
Given the nature of the world right now.
Yeah, man.
And deeply, deeply moved and affected by Jamaica and the culture and the music. And this is an absolute thrill that we get a chance to talk to you on our show.
Hey man, give thanks.
And I love that in one of our episodes in real time, you can hear us discover your comment on Instagram.
Yeah, I must listen. Yeah, I follow, man. You see, I follow. I'm looking. I'm watching what's happening, you know. I am one of the artists who is accessible online. I always try to be, you know, I get abused sometimes, but you know what it is. I try to just look at the positives. So I'm there, you know.
It's much appreciated. It's fantastic that you interact with everybody, and it just makes the whole thing so much more lovely. So, yeah, thanks for all your time, teacher.
Yeah, man, give thanks, man, love.
We want to know, you know, for the people who are now becoming turned on to you as an artist, I mean, where would you recommend they start? You know, if they want to do a deep dive into your music, you know, what album, what would you where would you recommend someone start? Where can they find you also as well, as far as getting turned on to what you're up to and updates and all that good stuff?
To find my music, All platforms right now, because I distribute to all platforms. I no longer have any vinyl and or CD right now. There's a lot of MP3s, because we know what the business is like right now. So as an independent artist, which I still am, I have my songs on iTunes. I have them on Spotify. They're on Pandora. They're all over. If you're in Africa, it's on Boomplay. It's everywhere. So my recommendation is not so easy. But what I can say is I probably have a song for all situations. So I would say you just look Teacher D up. You search TEACHADEE. And you just look at the name of the songs. Because I can tell you that if you listen to my first album, Reggae Soldiers, you will hear a young Teacher D, like 26, 27, trying to find his sound, but still trying to be true to himself. And you have some lovely songs on there. I was speaking to a fan recently that told me that he loved Mama Is Crying. Mama is crying all alone. The one son, she got him dead by gunshot, and she's all alone. You know, they like that kind of emotional thing.
What a voice.
And if you're into like spirituality and that kind of vibration and righteousness and those things, you should start at Rastafari Way and make your way onto to Time Machine. But I have so much songs outside there as single. I have a lot of songs out there, because in the early times, like 2012, 2013, when I resigned my teaching job, I was just taking rhythms from everywhere, instrumentals from everywhere, and putting out songs to remain relevant in the market. So I would say to you, don't just listen to Smoke and Fly and say, oh, this guy just sing about smoke. No, that's not true. That song is also about dangers of drinking too much, really. Because it is saying, don't drink and drive. It's best to smoke and fly, you know? So,
yeah,
it's a song against that drink and drive thing, you know? I driving under the influence.
I do urge all the listeners to go and... there's a fantastic clip on YouTube where you play Smoke and Fly live with the Bond intro.
Yes,
it's a fantastic video. I've watched it so many times this week. So please, everybody, head on to YouTube and watch that video. It's phenomenal.
I believe that was 2022 Reggae Jam. You know, it was in front of a lot of people, thousands of people. I don't even know how much. But that was... 1 hour worth of Tisha D also. But they have the intro and then they have like 1 hour worth of songs there. Yeah, man.
Amazing. And where on social can people find you?
To find me, I am on Instagram mostly these days. We know that the old socials are no longer really fascinating to people, like the MySpace and those things. So I am on Instagram. I am Teacher D. I am on then TEACHADEE. So the Jamaican pronunciation of teacher, that's teacher. Yeah, Teacher D.
Yeah.
So you can find me readily on Instagram. I am on YouTube too, Teacher D TV, which I'm going to start pushing more now. And you can find all of those music there, you know. And if you notice how I did even Rastafaraway video now. The kind of emotion that the song was pushing is continuing to push. I try to do like what everyone is doing now. It's like, you know, it's not a selfie energy, but it's like I'm on this lonely path.
It's a fantastic video.
And I'm waiting too. Yeah, man, it's crazy. I'm waiting, but I'm on the path. You see me going through like a feel, like the corn feel, and you see me trying to make it through.
Yeah.
That it was thick, like...
And the higher than your head.
Yeah, I was going through, and it's thick. I can't see where I'm going, but I'm going. And you saw me sitting at the roadside like, yeah, you know, tired now, but not giving up. And most of my videos are like that. Most of what I'm trying to say in my songs, it is happening behind me. So it is not about me, really. Something in the background is telling the story. Like, if you see me in front of a monument singing Jah Jah Is Calling, it's about the whole Protestant movement. Everything is there, you know? So, yeah, Instagram, you can find me. I am on the new thing called Threads these days, you know, and I try to stay up. My Facebook page is there, too. It's still active. I post from there, too. And it is Teacher D. Yeah, man.
Fantastic.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, we can't thank you enough. You have, you know, this has been such a pleasure and an honor. Thank you for sharing your time. We know you're in the studio recording. We can't, you know, wait to hear what happens next.
Yeah.
And thank you for everything.
I'm working on an album right now. You know, I'm working on an album right now, John, that is geared more towards love and relationships. Because if you listen to my music, I have not spent too much time there. Because I was more concerned with the spiritual vibration of love and oneness on a global scale, not just on a relationship vibration. So I'm working on that now and doing some serious collaborations in studio right now. So it's exciting times, you know. And I'm going to go to Jamaica soon, as you know, I told you. Going down there, get some things done, and then I'll be back. Again, for the summer, I have some shows to do. I have some festivals to do. Festival in Austria, and I have some in Germany to get sorted out.
And all those dates will be on your IG, correct?
Yes, on my IG. I'm publishing one that is fully confirmed. I am a headliner in Austria, and this is the festival that is in Telos. And I wish all the people who are there in Austria to come out and support this one. You know?
It's absolutely.
Yeah.
And thank you for a new album on love and relationships. I know I speak for the human race when we could use a little Teacher D right now.
Yeah. The kind of vibration is like, you know, if the sky is gray or blue, no sun comes shining through. I'll be here for you. I love you just the way you are. Yeah, that kind of vibes.
Oh, well, I say we.
The way you are, the way you are. Please stay the way you are. That's the thing I'm working on right now.
It's
well, I'll tell you what, we have to leave it there because we can't top that. That's.
I could listen to an a cappella teacher D album. I think it's you don't need the rhythms.
Idea. That's an idea.
We got some of it today.
Yeah that was beautiful.
Fantastic.
Give thanks,
Teach,
man. Give
thank
thanks.
You so much for everything. Let's stay in touch. And thank you for all that you do.
Yeah, man. John, big up yourself. You know, that's a Jamaican way of saying it is good. Stay safe and keep going to your most, your biggest potential in this reality right now, right? So we say big up. Yeah, man. Chris, big up yourself too. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for this opportunity. I am grateful. And for all the fans listening there, thank you for your support. I know that a lot of people were unaware of this energy called Teacher D, but in time, all will be clear. So just be thankful for the songs you hear, because I'm thankful that you're listening them too, you know. Give thanks same way. Music of Bon. One love every time.
Wow. Have that. I mean, God, what an incredible man. There's so much to unpack here. I don't even know where to begin. Let's pick one thing that we were touched by. What happened in that interview, Chris, that shook the pillars of your heaven?
I mean, it's rare that you get to... So for anyone that doesn't know, I'm sort of an amateur musician. So I write some songs, and it's what I do as a hobby. So I have a proper job, and then I do music as a fun release. And it's rare you get to speak to someone that's made a career out of it and that can do it for a living, which obviously Teacher D does. And there was a part within that interview that just really inspired me. And it was when, it was one of the lines he said, and it was, how can you be thirsty when you sat at the well? And he was talking about how it's very easy as a musician to say, oh, you know, it's too saturated and there's too many people releasing music there now and it's so hard to get recognised and all this, and you can put your own obstacles in front of you. But essentially, the tools are all there. You know, in the 1960s, can you imagine? Like when you watch Beatles documentaries or documentaries on any artist, when they talk about getting the chance to go in a studio, like Elvis... You know, when Elvis was in Sun Studios and all that, it cost a bomb to get in the studio back in the day. And it was hard. It was a challenge to get pressed to vinyl. And now we can create music in our bedroom. Do you know what I mean? He's so right. Yeah. There are no obstacles. And I think what I took from that interview, because, you know, it's always been something that's bothered me a little bit. You know, obviously, you know, I liken it to people that are sports people. You know, there's people that... feel they should have been a footballer, but they just missed their opportunity and they never did it. And I feel a little bit bitter like that sometimes, thinking, oh, you know, I could have been a guitar player, I could have done this. And I went down a different path and all that. But listening to that interview just sort of, it spoke to me. And I was thinking, no, actually, there's no excuse. You know, there's a recording studio. I'm literally recording into a recording studio as we do this podcast. It's in my computer. So... From a musician standpoint, I took a lot from that interview and came away just completely inspired and thinking, do you know what? I'm going to pursue everything I want to pursue with my music. And the only person to, you know, to knock if I don't do it is myself, really, because there's no excuse. How can you be thirsty when you sat at the well?
Yeah. Those are words to live by.
Absolutely.
For sure. That's the one that got me. I mean, as someone who listens to music every day, all day long, you know, the two topics, you know, love and moaning, like pissing and moaning,
yeah.
You know, and there's so many songs about people talking about troubles,
yeah.
Or pain or heartache or whatever it is. But when I never thought of this. When he said to me that he talks about the problem, the issue, and then he offers a solution.
Yeah.
And I went, that was like a lightning bolt from God for me. I went, wow.
Yeah.
you know, maybe it's lost on me, but I don't know that a lot of people offer the solution, you know. There's a lot of complaining going on,
yeah,
or pointing fingers, or, you know, talking about what other people are doing that they shouldn't be doing, as opposed to looking at themselves.
Yeah.
So that really rocked my world, you know, the solution. So, you know, went back and I listened to some of his music, after we did the interview, and I was listening, you know, for that solution, and damn if it's not there. So, you know, it changed how I listen to music.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty large statement. You know, it's a pretty big statement.
He gives off positivity, doesn't he? He radiates absolutely positivity, and that's what he is. He's positive in a nutshell.
And you know, I think it's very, you know, I think it's very, that was my whole point when we were talking, is that's how Jamaicans are. I mean, they really are. I walked away from that and from the interview, and I was like, God, I just sort of feel better.
Yeah, you know, therapy.
About, like, I can, you know, today I need to make better decisions.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so, I mean, we could unpack that whole interview,
oh,
but
definitely.
The good news is we have the interview. We have a lot of outtakes too, which we kept those microphones recording for a very long time. So, well, obviously, again, we can't thank you enough, Teacher D, for reaching out, for your support of the show, for all your beautiful music, and for you carving out the time to talk to a couple of Bond nuts. So, much appreciated and much love. All right. And please, guys, everyone, reach out. We want to hear what, you know, what he said that may be connected with you. Also, please let us know what your thoughts on, you know, putting yourself in the position where you are invited under those circumstances to participate in a James Bond film. I mean, how incredible was that? That's just mind-blowing, you know, deleting the email.
I mean, I know.
What if those sliding doors had gone the wrong direction? Holy Toledo.
I know.
So let us know, as always, Instagram, Music of Bond. You can reach us email, musicofbond@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. Now, this is normally where I talk about up next and, you know, give you an order of what we're going to be talking about next. And I want you to believe me, maybe 9 times out of 10. You know that Bond film that says the next film's going to be, you know, whatever, and then it ends up being something else? That might have been kind of what happened on our last episode. So you got Teacher D a little early, which is a good thing. Next up, I promise you, we will be discussing the expanded tracks from the Thunderball CD release, and I believe it's 2000-2001, a fact we will have nailed down by the time we do it. And super excited about those 6 tracks. Every one of them is a monster suite of Bond music. So thrilled to be dipping back into what I call the greatest hits episodes here at Music of Bond.
Definitely.
And speaking of outtakes, Chris, we, at one point in the interview, you know, your clip came up where we talked about, you know, your invitation, the message you sent to Teacher D,
yeah,
and you played the guitar. So I think we've got that a little clip queued up, correct?
Brilliant. Let's listen.
It's not an easy road when you choose Rastafari way, far away.
Chris, you know that I work in music, so you're not gonna just sing and I don't recognize your voice. I work with voices, so I know your voice.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's yeah, kind. What yeah, what did you think about that? Was it all right?
It is good, man. You did very well, because there are most parts of the song have like a strong dialect that some people can't understand that don't follow reggae music.
Mm-hmm.
But I am one artist who try to sing in between, because, you know, as a teacher, I try to sing in between. So I go into the proper English, then I come back to the dialect sometimes. So you did very well.
Oh.
You actually picked that line that was good English. Yeah, you did not use the line, say, but no to Babylon, say. You know, you didn't.
I didn't want to butcher that for you.
No, man, it was a good energy, man. The energy of it, you know?
Oh, thank you. Well, it's just a fantastic song.